1220. Thank you for your patience, Senator, excuse me, Representative Marshall, I'm sorry. Representative Marshall, we do have one other bill that we're going to hear today. I'm not sure we'll be able to act on that. It has quite a few people from out of town, and given the time is we have roughly a half an hour, I'd appreciate we'll take action to the extent that we're able to, but we'll also have a number of other people on another bill here from out of town that we'll want to take testimony on. So just wanted you to know that in advance. Thank you. We'll open up testimony.
Mr. Chairman, were you suggesting we postpone this or that I talk fast?
That we condense our testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, you. And members of the committee. Perhaps you're aware of 1220. What it is dealing with is child custody. What we have this morning, I'll give you my abridged version. Since English times, we have dealt in child custody issues from two perspectives. One, certainly the parental right doctrine, which safeguards property rights for people, and the other, best interest of the child standards, driving from the notion that the state is obligated to protect the welfare of a child. 1220 that I bring to you today falls into a category that I would say accepts both doctrines, understands that not only do parents have rights, but children do as well. 1220, let me take you through it as it is. There will be an amendment later, but should know the skeleton of the bill. We're going to begin with the last part of 1220 on the second page. And that is because, as you can read, this is an act to allow third parties to intervene in a custody dispute. And the first question you want to ask is, who's a third party? Who can this be? Section 4 tells you who that is. And that's one of the primary caretakers of the child with whom the child is closely bonded. Two-prong test. Not the neighbors. Not the barber. Someone with whom a child and adults have built a family. A person has cared for this child, and the child is closely bonded. Then we move on to Section 2 for the second part of the test. Section 3 for the second part of the test. Disinterested third party may rebut the presumption in favor of the parent if it would be shown that living with that parent would be detrimental to the child. This is a perspective that is different than what we rely on right now. Right now, we rely on unfitness and abandonment. The focus is on the biological parent. This changes the focus to what is going on with the child and what will be going on with the child. It is not a loose standard. Detrimental to the child is a heavy standard. And third and finally, only if these two are met, does it come to the standard of best interest of the child? If, in fact, it can be shown that this child has built a family with a third person, that it would be, in fact, detrimental to this child to be pulled away from that family and that caretaker, then and only then can we go before the court to argue that it would, in fact, be in the best interest. Before I move on, I wanted to add one other thing. It's very easy for us to worry about making changes. We've relied on our laws for child custody in South Dakota since 1895. It seems to me I've heard the expression around here, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But I'm telling you that these standards that we started in 1895 are broken. We know things now that we didn't know then. We use the term bonding in regular conversation from the general public. That's not something they knew in 1895. We understand that families don't always look like they used to in the 50s on television. We know that. In the South Dakota Law Review, I tried to get recent information on what it's like right now across the nation. The most recent that I could find was in our South Dakota Law Review, and it cited psychological parents versus biological parents, the court's response to new directions in child custody dispute resolution. This is a huge issue out there. Unfortunately, this was from 1978-79. It's the most recent statistics I could get. But you should know that even then, and that's over 20 years ago, 21 states at that time were using the parental right doctrine. 8 states were using a best interest of the child standard. And 12 states fell somewhere in between. That's what I propose to you today with 1220. 1220 isn't on, 1220 is not out here on a sole best interest of the child standard, but it moves us from the standards that we have been, that we've been living with since 1895, looking at children as merely property of a biological parent. I'd like to, we have an amendment on this, but I'd like to have another co-sponsor, Barbara Everest, be able to present that.
Thank you, Representative Marshall. Also, obviously, the committee does remember, but remind them that we have taken testimony also on this bill from Ms. Hattervig, who came last week. Very compelling testimony.
Thank you.
Further proponents. Senator, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. It's nice to be back in the House Judiciary Committee. I actually miss it. I do have a proposed amendment. And Mr. Chairman, I realize that your time is limited, and I will be absolutely as brief as possible, if I may proceed.
Please, thank you.
Thank you. Obviously, Representative Marshall and...
For the record, though, would you state your name, please?
Yes, thank you. I'm Senator Everest, and I appear before you today as a co-sponsor of the bill on the Senate side, and I think it's unusual that a senator would travel over here for this purpose. Usually we do try to leave House bills alone until they reach our floor. But I'm certain that this committee is aware that in the interim, a case has come down from the Supreme Court since the introduction of this bill, Meldrum versus Novotny. It's a case that I'm certain you're aware of, probably because you've discussed it in the committee and also because of the publicity that it's garnered. It is a third-party custody case. I thought perhaps the court would have ample opportunity to hang its hook on the best interests of the child standard. Several years ago, I was involved in changing Statute 25-6-4 on parental unfitness and termination of parental rights to include the best interests of the child standard. In the court, Justice Sabers, ruling for the majority, has stated that both the unfitness could not be proved by a clear convincing standard and abandonment also by, actually, the unfitness by clear and satisfactory standard and abandonment by clear and convincing evidence in this case. So it was unusual, and Justice Gilbertson wrote the majority opinion. Actually, there are 3 majority opinions to show you why a statute needs to be put in place, I believe, to clear up the consistencies in these unusual cases where abandonment and unfitness cannot be determined clearly. And Gilbertson hung his hook on the fact that the child had attention deficit disorder, which would have brought to the lower court's attention the doctrine of exceptional circumstances. Justice Konenkamp went further and delineated, I think, an excellent list of exceptional circumstances. And Justice Amundson said he would see the best interests of the child prevail as a determining factor. In looking over the bill, I thought it was perhaps best appropriate to delineate exceptional circumstances in statute and make it clear to the court that that would be one more hook for them to hang a decision upon. And I have done that, taking the words of Justice Conan Camp. Exactly. Furthermore, you'll notice that a few lines at the end of the bill have been deleted, and simply an interested third party is no longer required to define an interested third party. The party will enter the action if they meet exceptional circumstances. And would be happy to take any questions. Certainly, I think the Meldrum decision was a good decision. I've been a proponent of best interests of the child, and many, if not most of you, have also been. I think what we're doing here is providing statutory authority for the court to combine with their long history of case law. And I also believe that because it was such a split decision on the part of the court, that this step is extraordinary. I would also take the opportunity while I have a minute to say that if you hear testimony that the bill is too broad, my suggestion would be to take out the final sentence in Section 1, which is the court may award full or partial custody, care, education, and visitation rights of the child to any third party based on an equitable decision. And I realize that the equitable powers of the court are indeed broad. So with that,
thank you very much, conclude. Senator.
Thank
further
you.
Proponents, and please feel free, any proponents or opponents, to speak to what is the proposed amendment 1220JA. Further proponents.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Joni Cutler, and for purposes of House Bill 1220, I'm going to take off my lobbying badge and just simply introduce myself as an attorney, one who's practiced family law. I am a sitting member of the State Bar Family Law Committee, although I'm not here to testify for them either. So the decision in Meldrum was very timely with this bill. This bill, with its amendment, well protects the parent still being the first preference, but with a more or less a rebuttable presumption that the court keeps referring to in the case. The child's best interests are protected by the bill and acknowledged. It defines and codifies extraordinary circumstances from the Meldrum decision that will give circuits across the state a clear point of reference within the law. And if you look at the case law going back, the family case law is very clear that over and over again, the courts have specifically said that it would be helpful if the legislature would specify and determine that there are times when third parties should have standing for custody. That's what this bill does. It opens the door to specific situations where justice cannot be done for a child, given the limitations of the statutes that we've had. And it simply codifies some of the decision and strong recommendations of the court through the Meldrum decision. You may hear that, well, it's going to open the floodgates. I think Ms. Hattervig testified Friday that her brother is a judge in Oregon, where this type of statute has been in effect for many years, and he certainly hasn't found that to be the case. And quite honestly, for those familiar with family law, you know that when third parties do have an interest in the well-being of a child and are trying to make a claim of custody, they often show up in the courts anyway. And those that shouldn't have custody, according to the layout of our laws, are turned away, and sometimes unjustly so when it comes to the best interest of the child. So this bill, the court has said in the Meldrum case and over again, we see the court saying it's time for a change. There are situations where, for many reasons, the biological parents are unable to exercise custody that would be in the best interest of the child, and a third party should be suitable. It also acknowledges that bond that everyone's been talking about this morning. So the time has come to allow third parties standing in the courts in the interest of justice for children in South Dakota, and I urge the committee to support this bill.
Thank you, Ms. Cutler. Further proponents? Any further proponents? Hearing none, are there any opponents? And we'll allow latitude to speak to the amendment as well, but would ask, especially if you're from town, to condense your comments. We have a number of people on the next bill that have traveled a great distance that wish to provide testimony. Mr. Sanchez, welcome back.
Thank you. As you know, I am here representing the Department of Social Services, not as the prosecutor, but as an agency legal counsel. The department respectfully to Representative Marshall and Senator Evers, we respectfully oppose. You don't usually see me opposing very many things, particularly when dealing with children. But I assume and hope if this bill were to pass that it would become a Chapter 25 domestic relations statute. However, many laws and case law in that arena flow over into abuse and neglect statutes. They just do because they deal with children, and the courts tend to apply philosophies in one into the other. And the department is already experiencing third parties being allowed to intervene in our cases. And we believe these interventions have no basis in statute and are actually disruptive to the process. And as you know, this body has made abuse and neglect procedures, which are often result in involuntary terminations because of neglect or abandonment, the proper venue of the state's attorney. And you should also be familiar with the recent case involving a guardianship, which just came down, where the court, in fact, converted the guardianship to a termination of parental rights. And our Supreme Court came down and said, wrong venue. Not out of a guardianship. So with these recent Supreme Court decisions, it's apparent that the interests of truly interested third parties can be protected in those custody and visitation matters. And hopefully the rare cases are covered by that current case law. So there is no need for this bill at this time. Furthermore, the court can already appoint an attorney for the child, and that attorney should be able to advocate for the best interests of the child. That is what their obligation is. So passing this bill, it is our opinion, would send us down a slippery slope.
Thank you, sir. Further opponents? Any further opponents? Hearing no further opponents, committee will be closed for questions of the proponents or opponents. Then Representative Marshall will allow you rebuttal and a closing. Yes, sir, you bet. Representative Jensen, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Marshall, I know we have legislation pending on the other side of the, on the Senate side. Would you care to comment any about that differences that you might see, workable solutions, whatever there, please?
I may need to defer to Senator Everest, but I can give you, at first blush, the 1220 is based on an assumption that in addition to unfitness and abandonment, the other criteria in which custody may go to a third person would be extraordinary circumstances. My understanding of, and that would be 1220, around that whole concept of third party in extraordinary circumstances. My understanding of Senate Bill 177, the Senate bill, was not as much dealing, didn't tackle extraordinary circumstances, but sought to broaden the concept of abandonment and forfeiture.
And we'll allow Senator Everest to make some additional statements, but is there anything further you'd like to?
Yes,
ma'am.
Just that I think that we do know that it is the time. It certainly is of importance. It must be addressed. And I urge your support of 1220.
Thank you, Representative Marshall, and I appreciate your passion for the topic, and we don't wish to cut off testimony because we know Representative, Senator Everest, you were over here and I kept saying representative, and it was just, it's a flashback.
I'm just back home again.
Yeah.
And don't mind being called that.
Thank you.
There is another bill. It is a Senate bill, and it looks at it from the pure perspective of termination of parental rights and the rights of the parents. I actually thought about marrying these two bills in the amendment. After reading the court's decision in Meldrum, I would strongly suggest that this concept move forward, and it would be too early in the process, I think, to separate best interests of the child, especially after the court decision. Justice Amundson simply said that the best interests of the child standard should prevail, and as he said, quote, should trump any other standards. I think that was a strong statement. Both Gilbertson and Conan Camp talked about exceptional circumstances being in the best interests of the child. And I firmly believe that we need to clarify best interests of the child for third parties no matter what we do. Obviously, these guardianship cases that have been alluded to in Meldrum as well as being brought forward by the court give an avenue for the court to act in the best interests of the child for a third party. And that probably is a roundabout way of terminating parental rights. I agree with the department. But we should be able to leave our guardianship statutes in place, let them act as guardianship statutes, and still be able to better define best interests of the child in this particular circumstance. I'm not saying there aren't worthwhile points in the other Senate bill, but I would like to see the best interest concept go through.
Thank you very much, Senator. The committee is closed for action. And Representative Marshall, I would assume you'd wish to move this amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Move to pass.
Move the amendment. Is there a second?
I'm jumping ahead.
It's okay. And it was moved by Representative Marshall, seconded by Representative Bartling, Amendment 1220 JA. Comments on that motion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hennies.
I have another amendment I'd like to add to that.
Please. Yes, sir.
If you follow along on line 3 of the amendment, there were, it says now the child including the following and so on. I would move to insert after the word including any one or more of, so the sentence would read including any one or more of the following, so that no judge would interpret that to mean it had to meet every one of those 12 items. And then on subsection 11, I would strike the and at the end of the sentence and replace that with an or.
Is there a second to that motion? Further comments? Representative Marshall? Okay. It was moved by Representative Henney, seconded by Representative Bartling to amend as indicated. All those in favor of that amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried. Further action of the committee. Further, what's that? Yes, sir. You had discussion and action. Yep.
It appears to me that this is quite broad. Let's use an example, a non-custodial parent. Many times they're denied rights. And all of a sudden, then they get frustrated and they say, the hell with it. This bill, basically, under those circumstances, and of course, they get used to the grandmother. We had testimony the other day. And the person that's saying the hell with it, all of a sudden, he's left with nothing because he's denied rights. Probably can't afford to go to court.
I can't be there.
In many cases. And, of course, when you're talking about a single person, they end up in grandma's house, and grandma becomes a pretty dominant person. Does this take care of any of that?
Representative Marshall, please answer if you wish.
I'm not sure I'm following, but if I understand you correctly...
Grandma becomes bonded.
Okay, but first and foremost, the biological parents' rights stand first. Nothing happens. I mean, there's no changes to that unless a third party who meets some of these conditions comes forward and petitions the court. So it's not like the biologic, perhaps I misunderstood your question, but I thought you were suggesting that a biological parent would have to come to court.
Biological parent, many times non-custodial, has to go to court many times to even see the child. So he becomes disinterested in the child, and maybe we can call it abandonment, maybe we can call some of the other issue you got in here, and that would be cause to lose his rights.
Representative Hennies.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I support this bill and this amendment, and I tell you that there are grandparents, just as Lou has mentioned, all across this country who will support this thing. Anecdotally, I know of someone who has a former son-in-law who has been a physical abuser, a drug abuser, sexually addicted, constantly unemployed. All of his siblings have been in and out of the penitentiary. He never remembers his children at birthdays or Christmas. He doesn't call and he doesn't write. And if something happens to the custodial parent of that, the father gets the children automatically. And the grandparents and the children get the shaft. I think we need this bill very badly. We need to move it on very quickly.
Representative Mattson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think this is an important topic. I think there are some logistical things that need to be worked out, and I think they can be worked out on the floor. I think it is a good topic, and I think this is a good approach, and as such, I move do pass as amended.
Is there a second? Seconded by Representative Jensen. Any further comments? Representative Siebert.
I'm still on my little hitch. I'm not saying I'm against the bill. I just don't want some grandmother coming up and taking a child away from somebody that's been denied rights. And does this protect that? Grandma is going to come and say, hey, I could take this child, and when the daughter dies, and this is the best thing for the child.
Committee, I know I sound like a broken record, but we have people on the next bill who have traveled quite a way, and I want them to at least get their testimony in before 10 o'clock. So, but no, that's okay. We just have a number. It's not you, Representative Siebert. It's me. Representative Marshall.
I'd like to answer that, that I did have a non-custodial father at our Cracker Barrel lay out his case and how would this work within this bill, and he was satisfied that he would have the kind of voice that he needed in that kind of a case.
Further comments on the do-pass motion? The only thing I would say is there is some language conundrum here relative to extraordinary circumstances not showing up in any other aspect of the bill, and I think that we should work on that on the floor. Representative Monroe.
Chairman, I'll be brief, but you can take on the amendment almost any of these. There are so many things that are determined by, that are not determined in statute already, and it is so broad. If you take 12 subs times two or three ways to interpret each one, you've got dozens and dozens of ways to do anything you want to, depending on which side you're on. And I would encourage people to vote against the due pass and work on this bill further. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, we're closed for vote. The motion is due pass by Representative Mattson. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll, please.
Farling, aye. Gillespie,
aye.
Hennies,
aye.
Jensen,
aye.
Mattson,
aye.
Monroe,
no.
Marshall,
aye.
Nachtigall,
aye.
Siebert,
no.
Michaels,
aye. Due pass motion carries 8-2. As amended.
Thank you
very much.